19, verses 7 through 10. Altogether, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the wonderful book you have given to us. I pray, Father, we'd be changed and challenged by this sermon tonight. I pray, Father, that we would treasure this book more than we currently do. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This is the book that God wrote. And this book will last forever. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. In Psalm chapter 12, verse 7, it is written concerning these God-breathed scriptures, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Then the penman of Psalm 119, verse 89, wrote, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now the word settle means to bring to rest, to establish, or secure permanently. The word of God is changeless, it is timeless, and it is always in season. God has put such a premium on his word that we are told this in Psalm 138, verse 2. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now God's name is holy. God's name is reverend. And he, like all of us, know that our name is only as good as our word. And certainly God's word is both good and holy. David said this about the scriptures. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. This book happens to be a wealth of wisdom. It is rich in its counsel. It is a treasure trove of truth. It is to be desired more than gold. And it is sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. This book is said to convert the soul, make wise the simple, rejoice the heart, enlighten the eyes. It is clean, pure, true, and righteous altogether. This book, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, is quick, or said to be alive. It is condemned by atheists, scoffed at by scorners, mutilated by so-called scholars, yet it lives. Its incorruption, inspiration, and its infallibility is denied by multitudes, yet it lives. It lives as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It lives and it is instrumental in the new birth. It is food for the hungry, water to the thirsty, rest for the weary, a guide to the pilgrim, and a standard by which believers are to live by. Since it is a settled word, it'll settle you down, settle your problems, and settle where you came from, why you are here, and where you are going. While there are many books that fill libraries around the world, and many authors who wrote them, and some happen to be religious, some are historical, others are fiction, and some are nonfiction, only one book has God as its author, and as a mountain is beyond a grain of sand in strength, and the sun is about a dim candle in its brightness, so is our King James Bible above and beyond all other books combined. It is perfect. It is pure. It is powerful. And woe be to those who would tamper with it. You know, the last curse found in the Bible reads as follows in Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. And there we are told, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. To the blood-bought saint, to the child of God, to those who are born of the Spirit, this book is a delicious book. In Psalm 119, 103 we read, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." When the prophet Ezekiel was given a scroll containing the words of God, and was commanded to eat them, he discovered just how sweet those words were. And we are told this in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill the bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness." I think the same advice could be given to us today, that we need to eat and consume this word, fill our belly with it, and you know what will happen? We'll find that it is sweet, and it is something near and dear to us as we should live by it. Jeremiah knew there was no sweetness like God's word. And he said this in Jeremiah 15:16. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Job, he couldn't get enough of God's word. And he said this in Job 23:12. "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." In Judges 14, verse 18, "The uncircumcised Philistines solved the riddle that Samson gave them. And they said, what is sweeter than honey?" I'll tell you what's sweeter than honey. What's sweeter than honey is the very words of God. The Bible tastes sweet to all who have fallen in love with it. Now, if it happens to be like dry oatmeal to you, it is sure indication that you got a spiritual problem in your life, for one always loves spending time with that which they love. The Bible improves with age as it gets tastier as the years go by. It's milk for the babe, meat for the mature, bread for the hungry, and this book, well, it's real soul food. It is a delicious book. Number two, it is a delightful book. In Psalm 119:16, David, who I believe God used to write this psalm, wrote, "I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Now this whole psalm, Psalm 119, is about the Bible. And by far it is the longest chapter in all of God's word. And David says he finds delight in God's statutes. And then in verse 24, he writes, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." If the word of God is a delight and not a dreaded duty, you will be motivated to remember it and heed its counsel. If the word of God is your delight, you will learn that it is a collection of 66 counselors whose advice is flawless, and they will never lead you astray. The counsel you get from God's word will enhance your marriage, solidify your finances, keep you on the straight and narrow way, and there is no problem found in life that God does not address in these holy scriptures. When we get our counsel from the book that God wrote, we will joyfully exclaim, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." The little child in Sunday school delights in stories found in the Bible, such as Jonah and the whale, Daniel in the lion's den, and the walls of Jericho falling down flat. But the mature believer finds equal delight in the same Word of God as they study it. It is a delicious book, and as a delicious book, it should be consumed. It is a delightful book, and as a delightful book, it gives us great counsel. Number three, it is a different book. It is unique. There is no other book like it. It is different than all the rest. Other book tells us what men suppose, but the Bible tells us what God knows. Other books tell us what men almost as foolish as us speculate, but the Bible gives us irrefutable facts. No other book changes our image to the likeness of Christ. No other book reads us as we read it. And no other book will keep one from sin. It is quick. It is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The mysteries of God unfold in this book. It is the greatest piece of literature of all time. It is the world's best-selling book. It contains history, civic lessons, psychology, philosophy, romance, science, financial management. Yeah, some of you guys don't know anything about romance. Read the Song of Solomon. Read the Book of Ruth. There's all kinds of romantic stories in the Bible. It is an accurate account of future event. It is as up to date as tomorrow's newspaper, for it is history written in advance. This book has it all. It is complete, and it is able to complete all believers who put it into practice. Those who search it, seek after it diligently, and who submit themselves to its authority will become a mature believer. The Bible is a delicious book that should be consumed, a delightful book that counsels, a different book that convicts. And number four, it is a design book. It is a design book. In its types and in its prophecies, its patterns, its instructions, its revelation and accuracy, the Bible shows its wonderful design. It could have never come about by accident. Every word is important. Though we may not be able to pronounce every word and do so properly, or have to consult a concordance to find out its meaning, Jesus did say in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So no word should be overlooked. For every one of them, every 823,543 words in this book are essential. Jesus tells us to search the Scripture, for they are they which testify of me. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is all about Jesus. If you want to get an accurate knowledge of the living Word, you will find it in the written Word, for that is where the Lord reveals Himself to us. This book came from God to holy men, who were moved by the Holy Ghost to pen down what thus saith the Lord. It was written down by many different writers from various walks of life over a period of nearly 1,600 years. And this one volume we call the Bible has 66 books in this divine library. And it contains no errors, and it is incapable of error. A preacher of old said this about the incorruptible Word of God. The Bible had to be written either by good men or angels, bad men or demons, or by God Himself. But it could not have been written by good men or angels, for they would not lie saying it came from God. It could not have been written by bad men or demons, for it condemns what they are doing and sentences them to hell. So it has to come from God himself, just as he said it did. This book is God-planned, God-given, and it is perfect as it is. It does not need to be revised, rewritten, or readdressed. It simply needs to be reread, regarded, and relied upon. This book is delicious. It needs to be consumed. It is a delightful book that gives us great counsel. It is a different book because it convicts us, and it is a design book with no contradictions. Number five, this book is a dependable book. David said in Psalm 93, verse 5, "Thy testimonies are very sure." 1 Peter 1:19 tells us, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed." Folks, the Bible isn't just sure. It is very sure. It is more sure. It never fails. His word is true. It does not contain truth. It is absolute truth. And wise is the one who is the doer of it. In a Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. We read it this morning, and we'll read it again tonight. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and what? Doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." His word and obedience to it is a rock-solid foundation for anyone's life. So is it right or true and dependable when it speaks of the creation account? Just this week, someone asked me. They said, "You believe in the creation story?" I said, "Sure." I said, they said, "Well, how old do you think the world is, the earth?" I said, "About 6,000 to 8,000 years old." "So you believe in a young earth?" I said, "I do. I believe God spoke it into existence. I believe we can trace the time from, you know, a week into it when Adam was created and a number of years he lived all the way through. And that tallies up to somewhere about 6,000 to 7,000 years." And he says, "Really?" Now, he happens to be a believer. I said, "Really?" He says, "You don't believe it's 4 billion years old?" I said, "4 billion years old." I said, "Where you come up with that figure?" He said, "Science." I said, "Oh, some scientists say it's 20 billion years. Some say it's 30 billion years old. So what scientists do you happen to believe?" He says, "Well, you must not believe in carbon dating." I said, "No, I don't." I said, "You know, you can carbon date one thing one time and then you return and carbon date it again and it's all thousands of years." I said, "You know what? The Bible does speak of science falsely so-called." He said, "I suppose you believe Noah took dinosaurs on the ark." I said, "I do." He said, "How did those big animals get on there?" I said, "The simple thing is," I said, "they weren't big animals. They were babies. And," I said, "they died off because the climate changed." "No, really. The earth was there was waters on the earth and there was waters above the earth. And when the flood came, all the waters from above, it was kind of like we were in a bubble and they all came down and it flooded the earth." And he says, "You know what? When we get to heaven," he says, "I believe God's going to tell me to go to you and tell you, you know, that I was right and explain to you that science was correct and that it took 4 billion years." I said, "Well, I ain't buying what you're selling." I said, "I believe God's going to say, 'John, go tell that knucklehead that my word was true.'" Yes, I believe God created the heavens and the earth. It is plain, it is simple, and it took 6 literal days and just 10 commandments. How about only two genders? It is very sure on marriage being between one man and one woman, is it not? Is the only climate change spring, summer, fall, and winter according to the Word of God? Was there a worldwide flood that destroyed the earth with only 8 survivors? Did the sun and moon really stand still at Joshua's request? Was Jonah really swallowed by a whale for 3 days and 3 nights? Did a virgin really give birth to the Christ child? Is Jesus really God manifest in the flesh? Is Jesus coming again? Is there really a heaven? Is there really a hell? Is Jesus the one and only Savior? Did he die for the sin of the world? Did he rise from the grave 3 days and 3 after 3 days and 3 nights? Is salvation for everyone? And is it really eternal? Are the saved to live differently from the world around them? Are they really to abstain from the appearance of evil? Are they really supposed to be surrendered to Jesus Christ? Are they to be spirit-filled? Are they commanded to be in church, to forsake alcohol, not defile the temple of the Holy Ghost, to take the message of Christ to others, to be holy as he is holy? Are they to tithe? Are they to pray? Are they to give Christ and his word preeminence in their life? Are they really blessed when they are doers of the word? Is the Word of God trustworthy and dependable on everything it addresses? It is a sure word. It is very sure, more sure, for it comes from a God who cannot and will not lie. Is it true and righteous altogether? And we need, therefore, to commit ourselves to the truth of Scripture, should we not? We should reject all that is contrary to the written voice of God. Oh, the Bible, my friend, it's delicious, and it should be consumed. It is a delightful book that counsels. It is a different book that convicts. A designed book without contradictions, a dependable book that can be counted on. And then number 6, it is a directional book. It is a directional book. Psalm 119:105 tells us that this word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible is the instrument God gives us to light the path that he wants us to walk on. Now in the Bible we are told to walk in newness of life. We are to walk in the Spirit, to walk by faith. And our walk is to be worthy, honest, one of good works, in love, in light. And we are to walk circumspectly. God's word is a lamp unto our feet. It didn't say a lamp unto our eyes. And it will give us the light we need to take the next step. Not the step for the rest of our lives. And it will place light on the path we are to walk on. God has provided light for our path, but to receive that light, we must apply that lamp to our feet. In other words, do as God has commanded. If we would follow the simple direction in God's word, it will direct us, and we should all ask the Lord the same thing David did in Psalm 119, verse 133, where he said, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." And may it be said of us, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God's word, it's a delicious book that should be consumed. It's a delightful book that has counsel that needs to be heeded. It is a different book in that it convicts us. A designed book without contradictions. A dependable book that can be counted on. A directional book that will determine the course we take. And number 7, it is a decisive book. It is direct, definite, deliberate, and decisive. You know, it doesn't mince words. It has absolutes And there are no exceptions to it. There's no wiggle room when it comes to the scripture. Things are either right or wrong. Black and white, true or false. For God meant what he said and said what he meant. Years ago, there was a bumper sticker. It was quite common. That read, and many believers put this on the back of their car. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. Now, the truth is, if God said it, it's settled whether you believe it or not. Now, this book is decisive about sin. It names it. It speaks of its wages, tells us how destructive it is, and how it can be cleansed, and that is by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It is decisive about prayer. It is asking. It is to be done by one who is in the Son, to the Father, and in the Spirit. Nothing asked for is off limits except things that lie outside the will of God. It is decisive about the Christian home. The husband is to be the head. He is to love his wife as Christ loves the church. A wife is to be in subjection to her husband, show him respect and honor, and children are to obey their parents. It is decisive about Christian living. And you find how a believer is to live by reading the epistles of Paul, James, Peter, John, as well as the rest of the Word. It is decisive about the second coming of Christ. It comes in two stages. First of all, Christ comes in the air for his own, and then 7 years later, he comes back with his own to the earth to set up his millennial reign. It is decisive about the cause and effect, because we reap what we sow. This book is concise. It contains no compromise. It needs no correction, for it is true and righteous altogether. God's word is a delicious word, and it should be consumed. It is a delightful book that gives us great counsel, a different book that convicts, a desired book with no contradictions, a dependable book that can be counted on, a directional book that determines the course we should take, a decisive book that is clear in what it says, and then lastly, it should be a desirable book. A desirable book. Psalm 19:10, one of our text verses reads as follows concerning the Word of God. More to be what? Desired are they than what? Gold. Yea, than much fine gold. This book is desired by people who yearn after God. Those who want to get to know him better and long for his face to shine upon him. Ask yourself, do I desire his word more than wealth? What are you giving your life for? This book ought to be digested. This book ought to be read. This book ought to be loved. It ought to be esteemed. More than our necessary food. More than wealth. In Psalm 84:11 we read, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. One will never walk with God as they should unless they are walking in light of his word. Then they will find desires are fulfilled when we abide in the desirable book, when we read God's word with the right attitude, subjecting our thoughts and wills to what it says. And then we can expect to be blessed. Yes, it's a delicious book. We should consume it. It is a delightful book with the best counsel we could ever get. You know, oftentimes as a pastor, I don't have counselors to go to. I don't have a pastor. But you know where I go? I go right to this book. I get all the counsel that I need for the problems that I'm facing in the ministry. You know what? I can go to other pastors. And you know what? They can tell me all kinds of things that don't even line up with Scripture half the time. But thank God I can go to the book and get the counsel that I need. You know, it's a book that convicts. I would say there's times when I'm reading the Word of God and I'm going, ooh. And you know, when I do read the book, I read it for myself. I don't read it and say, oh man, so-and-so could use that. Because you know what? This old sinner needs it. It is a design book with no contradictions. Every now and then I come across somebody and says, you know what? There's all kinds of contradictions in the Bible. And I pull out my New Testament, especially when I'm out soul winning, and I hand it to them. I say, well, can you show me one?
Right.
Not once have I ever had anybody show me anyone. And you know why that is? Because there's not any. And you know, most of those people who say that never read the book to begin with.
Right.
It is a dependable book that can be counted on. You know, one of the things that helped me out this past week, and I kept thinking about the comfort of the Scriptures. And my, this book seen me, it just seen me through a very difficult week with my father going. You know, I thought for a while, you know, my mom would be devastated. It was devastating to lose my mom. But then when my dad passed, it was the last of that generation. And I took it doubly hard. But you know what? I found comfort. Where did I find comfort? In the arms of Connie. No. Now she can be a source of comfort, but not like this book. Not like the God of all comfort. And folks, we just need to realize, you know what? We need to get in the book. It can be counted on. It is a dependable book. It is a directional book that determines the course that we should take. It is a decisive book that is clear in what it says, a desirable book that contains costly truth. Now, if we ignore this book, neglect it, dismiss what it says, or sit in judgment of it, we do so to our own detriment. So what do you say? We pour ourselves into it and allow it to pour itself into us. And then what is written in 2 Timothy 2:15 will be realized in our lives. And that verse tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Folks, this book, the Bible, is biblical instructions before leaving earth. Let's get into the book. Let's treasure it as we ought to. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.